morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome again to Shaw Valley Church on kind of a cool day. I think it's supposed to warm up today, so I hope Gus is right that we get spring early. I had my doubts. I want to welcome Reverend Dr. Don Dawson here today as our guest minister. He served 16 years as a director of World Mission Initiative at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary and the New Wilmington Mission Conference. Don previously served as a pastor for 6 years at Buffalo UP Church in Sarver and 18 years at Hampton Presbyterian Church in Gibsona. He's pastor emeritus, which means retired, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And he knew Leonard, so he's been around a long time, so this is good. Reminder that Rebecca, when she gets back, will start a Lenten Bible study starting on March 5th. Those who are interested, please use the sign-up sheet in the back of the church. There's no sign-up sheet? Okay.
There is for Jim.
For Jim's, okay. Jim has a Bible study starting. When are you starting that, Jim? The 15th of March, this month, and what time are you starting?
10 to 10:30.
10 to 10:30? Okay, so Jim Eichner is doing an adult Bible study from 10 to 10:30 beginning the 15th of March. Thank you. There will be a spring congregational meeting following the service on Sunday, March 15th. That's to do the annual review of the financials. And the deacons meeting will be Sunday, March 22nd after church. Reminder of the craft show coming up on the 21st. And with that, we will turn it over to Don.
It's good to be here with you today. I preached here in the past, but it's been a good while. And I actually was here and moderated the meeting when you called Rebecca to be your pastor. So, and feel like a neighbor to the north, you know, neighboring township, Hampton. So good to be here and good to lead you in worship this day. Let us come together with the call to worship. I will sing with your steadfast love, O Lord, forever.
With my mouth I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations.
I declare that your steadfast love is established forever.
Your faithfulness is firm as the heavens.
Come, let us together bless God's holy name. Oh, for a thousand tongues.
Thank you.
God naturally leads us into confessing our sins, because as we praise our great God, we recognize our inadequacy before this great God. And it leads us to say, we fall short. We do that in the sure confidence that God is more ready to forgive than we are even to ask. So let us confess our sins together. Gracious Father, we give you thanks today for all those faithful women and men down through the ages by whose witness we have come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. We confess that we do not often reach out as they did to tell others about your love. Forgive our reluctance to share this good news. Then, having received your grace, empower us by your Spirit to demonstrate in all we say and do the blessings which come through faith in you. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. God is doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. By the grace of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Join me in the Apostles' Creed as we say what it is that we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please greet one another with the greeting of brothers and sisters in Christ.
Thank you.
We don't have any formal praise and prayer requests today, but I will remind folks to be in prayer for Rebecca while she's on her study leave mission trip in South America. And I did receive one text from her last week, so at least at that point she was doing fine. Hopefully she's continuing to do well. It is a blessing to see Janet Weckerly back up in the choir after her hip surgery, and good to see you, and good to see Rory again since he was not feeling well last week. So for anyone else who is not feeling well, it's good to see Sue again. It's good to see you all here. I want to say a prayer for my sister-in-law, Susie Brown. She's in Texas. She needs to have knee surgery to repair damage done back in 1978 from an auto accident. So that's coming up in March. My wife's going out there to help her out. So please keep all these persons in your prayers. Thank you.
Cliff, do you know anything? I see this for Ed Coppola, but that's 2 weeks ago then when I saw the data. Is there an update on that from
Kathy? Any update on Ed Coppola?
I have not heard this week, but last week he was still not doing well, and she's getting very, very tired physically, emotionally, spiritually. So prayers that there's continued healing and couples knowing that the Father will.
Okay, thank you very much. Thanks.
Please be seated. Let us join in prayer. Oh God, we bring you our praise and our thanksgiving this day as we gather together. How sweet it is to be together with brothers and sisters in Christ. We enjoy the fellowship, the oneness that we have when we gather together, and this gives us opportunity to express our love for you, our devotion to you. So hear that commitment and that consecration of ourselves, dear God. And we ask that you might help us to love the story more and more each day, and to yearn to tell the story more and more each day. As we sang at the beginning, O Lord, assist us to proclaim. Assist us to proclaim that great good news of Jesus and his love. Assist us in telling the story of what you, O God, have done in our lives. Lead us forward and point us toward those who need to hear that story. Give us boldness and give us courage. And we ask, O Lord, that you might build up the fellowship of this church and the individual members of this church. We thank you for Janet and Roy and Sue returning to worship and being restored in health. And we pray for those who are in need of healing, for Susie Brown, for her upcoming knee surgery. We pray for Ed Coppola and for his wife as she seeks to be faithful in caring for him and coming alongside him. Oh Lord, be their strength in these days and enable them to know the power of your presence in even greater ways than they've ever known before. Oh Lord, we ask for all who are in need that you might be their companion, and that they might be drawn to seek after you and seek after your help. We pray for this church and the strengthening of Glenshaw Valley, that it might be a witness for you in this community in even greater ways. We pray for the outreach of this congregation, for the corporate reaching out into the community that the church does as a body, but also for the individual outreach that each person gathered here does, and praying that the way in which each one leads their lives might lead to a strong witness for you, that others might see you in them and say, I want that too. Oh God, we pray for Rebecca and thank you for this experience that she's had in Central America. Pray, oh Lord, for the ways in which you are renewing her and giving her greater vision and understanding of your church around the globe. And asking that you might help her as she seeks to lead and to guide this congregation. Oh Lord, hear these, our prayers, and our prayers for your church around the world, as we offer them in the name of Christ Jesus and as he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. It is our joy and privilege now to bring our tithes and our offerings unto God as we present and dedicate ourselves to our Lord.
God, we stand before you with our offerings and want to express our thanksgiving to you. And we want to do so by the dedicating of these offerings and the dedicating of our lives, our time, our abilities, our interests, our whole being, that we might serve you in all that we do, and that you might be honored through these gifts and through our lives. We pray for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen.
This morning's scripture readings. First one is Mark 5, 14 through 20. The swineherds ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and saw the demonic sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, the very man who had the legion, and they were afraid. Those who had seen what had happened to the demonic and to the swine reported it. Then they began to beg Jesus to leave their neighborhood. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed by demons begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus refused and said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. The next reading is John 4, 25 to 30. The women said to him, "I know that this Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jug and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" And they left the city and were on their way to him. Next is John 39 to 42. Many Samaritans from the city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I've ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world."
Let us join in prayer. O Lord God Almighty, we give you thanks for your word, written long ago by the power of your Holy Spirit. And thank you that the power of that same Spirit is present now, taking this word and implanting it in our hearts and in our minds, so that we might know your desire for us and we might live it out day by day. So lead us, O Lord, to understand and to reflect and to be drawn unto you through this time of hearing your word and thinking about how it applies to our lives. We ask for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, while I was working the last 16 years of my active ministry at Pittsburgh Seminary and the Wilmington Mission Conference, my work at the seminary was as director of the Mission Focus, World Mission Initiative. And so I had the privilege of taking students with me around the world. And what a privilege to draw near to brothers and sisters in Christ in Nepal, and Vietnam, and throughout Africa, and Senegal, and Ghana, and Malawi, and Niger, and in many other places through Central America and Mexico. And the privilege of taking Rebecca to Nepal as a part of a group there. And the place where I went the most during those years was Vietnam. And a vivid memory is one when maybe about 2005, we were going from Ho Chi Minh City, the capital, north to Da Nang, clear up in the middle of the country. That's a 2-day drive. We stayed overnight in Nha Trang, a kind of resort town, a vacation town on the east or South China Sea, and then we were leaving the next day to go to Da Nang, and the driver and our host interpreter Min didn't exactly know the road to connect to the major highway going north. So we stopped at this corner mechanic shop to ask directions, and Min gets out, and a few minutes later he comes back with a young girl who was 12 years old, looked like she was about 8, but she crawls into the front seat, and she is going to give us directions out of the town, and we're going to take her back home. She's been staying with her uncle, and we're going to take her 50 miles north to her hometown. That happens all the time here in the U.S., right? For a 12-year-old girl to go off with strangers from another country, right? Different culture. Different culture. Very different culture. But here's what happened. As soon as we got on the highway, Min is engaged in conversation with this young girl. Now, he's talking in Vietnamese, so we don't know what he's saying, but we do know what he's saying. We know he's telling her about Jesus, because that's just Min. It's what he does naturally. And 15 minutes later, we see him praying with the girl. That's the way you encounter strangers, right? That's what your conversations look like when you meet someone new, right? No, of course not. It's very different for us, right? And it's not just a cultural difference. Whereas Min is just natural in the way in which he does it. It's the first thing that comes to his mind to want to share about that which is most important to him. It's not the first thing we usually want to do. We have all kinds of barriers that go up, all kinds of red flags in our mind that stop us from doing that kind of thing. Men and many other brothers and sisters in Christ around the world are ones who have taught me so much about sharing my faith, about evangelism, a word we don't like to use too much, we're not too comfortable with, but they're the ones who have taught me about sharing the story and about the zeal for sharing the story. And so I kind of want to share the two things that I've learned from men and others. The one is that simply good news is for sharing. Okay? It's just for sharing whenever we've got good news. And secondly, it's about sharing the story of what God has done for you. It's just telling our story. This is what God has done for me. And we find that in both of these New Testament lessons, both gospel lessons. And you know what? I could have chosen another half a dozen scriptures that would have just as easily communicate the same kind of things that these two stories do. And you only got part of the story because the stories are both pretty long stories. The first story, the story of the demoniac, the demon-possessed man. Jesus had crossed the Sea of Galilee with his disciples, and there in the area called the Ten Cities, he gets out, and the first thing is he encounters this possessed man who lives in a cemetery. He's chained up. He's shouting out at Jesus as he comes out and saying, "Keep away from me, Son of God." He recognizes exactly who Jesus is right away. It's because of the evil spirits within him who understand the spirit world and whose presence they are. And we don't understand this evil spirits kind of stuff today. But I'll tell you what, it's just as real today. We just kind of deny it in our post-enlightenment Western world. You go out to the rest of the world, you find an awareness of this, regardless of whether we fully understand it or not. What Jesus does is he gives life back to this man who lived chained up in a cemetery, separated from everyone else and put off, and no one wanted to encounter him. And then the demons are cast out by Jesus, you remember maybe, into a herd of pigs. And the pigs go running into the sea and are destroyed, and the herders run off, and that's where we pick up the story. So this man is so overwhelmed by what Jesus has done. He says, "I want to go with you. I want to follow you. My life was nothing before. I've got life now. I want to invest it in you because you're giving life everywhere you go. Interestingly, in contrast to the people from the village, notice how they responded. They said, get away from us, Jesus. Leave. We don't want you around. They're afraid of such power. They were afraid of this man, and now look what's happened to him. And so they're afraid of Jesus. And they say, go away. So Jesus leaves, and this man says, I want to go with you. And what's Jesus tell him? Go home. Tell your family. Tell your family what God has done for you of His love and His mercy. That's the first thing Jesus tells him to do. Not come with me and be one of the disciples. No, what's more important is to go and tell his family what the Lord has done. Do you have family that doesn't know about the love and mercy of Jesus? I do, some extended family. Do you have friends who aren't following Jesus? I do. Do you have neighbors who don't know His grace and mercy? I do. I can count them. Do you have coworkers or people you socialize with who don't know Jesus? I do. All the time there are more and more people around us who don't know Jesus and don't follow Jesus, right? That's very apparent. And they're people we care about. They need to hear the story. Just like this demon-possessed man's family needs to hear about the power and love of God Almighty. So those around us need to hear that same story. Now, your story, my story, most likely aren't as spectacular as this demon-possessed man, you know? Anybody ever been possessed by demons or known that you were possessed by demons anyhow? Yeah? No? A few of you may have very dramatic kind of stories, but most of us don't. Most of us have a rather ordinary story, I would guess, kind of like mine. I count it as a blessed story. That God blessed me so much, loved me so much, that He placed me in a Christian home with parents who taught me about Jesus. And a church like this one that cared for me and nurtured me and caused me, helped me year by year to grow into a deeper love for Jesus. As I began to understand more, I began to love Jesus more and more. Into that kind of place of nurture is where Jesus has placed us. That is a fantastic story. We may not think it's as good as the dramatic conversion, but it is. It says God's love is so great that He didn't even ever expose us from time to time away from Him, apart from Him. It's a story we have to tell, though. And it's a common story, whether it's a dramatic story or a story of blessing. It's, I was lost and I was found. You know, throughout Scripture, there are all these stories about the lost and found, right? There's the lost coin that was found by the woman. She searches for it and searches for it until she finds it, and she rejoices and has a big party when she finds it. There is Jesus telling the story of the shepherd who had 100 sheep and one was lost, and he leaves the 99 to go and find the one, and when the one's found, he rejoices. And then the third lost story is about the lost son, the prodigal son, who goes away, rejects everything from his father, and goes off and parties and departs completely from the way in which he was raised up. But then he comes home when he recognizes what he's lost, and the father rejoices with a big party, for the lost son is found. We're lost and we're broken apart from God, and in God we find wholeness. That's the basic story. That's a common thread for all human beings. because sin is in our lives. That's why we have a prayer of confession every week. It's a part of worship, is we recognize our brokenness, our lostness, that even when we've been held close within the fellowship, there are ways we fall away. And God in His mercy comes to us and brings us back. If anyone should understand about fellowship, it should be those of us who've always been connected through the fellowship of the church. We have stories to tell, but we don't very often tell them. We ought to be telling them to one another, because only as we tell them to one another do we become comfortable just telling them. And then we'll be comfortable to tell them to other people who don't know Jesus, who aren't following Him. We're not good at telling our story, though, and I think it all comes down to we're afraid. We're afraid for all kinds of reasons. We're afraid about how people will respond to us, that they'll think we're intolerant, or they'll think we're pushy, and they'll stay away from us because they think, oh, this crazy religious person, you know, Jesus freak, or whatever they might call us, right? And we're afraid of that. Or we're afraid of our own, we feel inadequate. I couldn't tell the story. I don't have that good a story. Or I'm not like the disciples, I couldn't. Or I'm not a trained preacher, I couldn't. Or I don't know the scriptures, so I couldn't. Baloney. That doesn't matter. Did the demon-possessed man know the scriptures? Did he quote any scripture? Did Jesus ask him to say, oh, well, tell all about the law and the prophets and how they build and how I'm the fulfillment of that and the Messiah? No. He said, go and tell your family what God has done for you. Period. That's all. Any of us can do that, right? Good news is meant to be shared. Good new recipe? You glad to share it? Sure. Great golf course and a great game on a great golf course? You glad to share it? Yeah. Anything exciting new? A movie, a vacation? We want to share it, right? Grandchildren, great-grandchildren, you know, you want to see some pictures? I'd be glad to show you my grandchildren. I was just with them, and yeah, right? Afterwards, I'll show you. And you can tell me your story, okay? So we can turn. We're glad to share good news, quick to share it. Well, what better news do we have than Jesus loves me, this I know. Good news is meant to be shared. We don't have to have all the answers. There's not just one story of how we experience God's love. But all the stories come together in God. Well, the second thing that I was sharing about what men's taught me, it's about having a passion for it, a zeal for it. That's the most important thing, is that we love to tell the story. We want to tell the story. And I've encountered so many people like men. Like the woman who was a Vietnamese woman who was a convert from Cao Dai. And she was sharing prayer concerns for all these people. And who they were all the people she came in contact with each day. Her neighbors, her family, the woman she bought vegetables from in the market. And I find out Min's the one who took us to this church and prayer time, and she was sharing. And he leans over to me and says, she's a convert from the Cao Dai religion just a year ago. And already she's brought 50 people to faith in Jesus. You know, like everybody here, right? You know, one a week plan, right? No, but she had to share that good news. And I can tell you about this Nepali woman, same kind of thing. For today, there are thousands and thousands of people who are believers who can trace their spiritual heritage back to this woman who simply told the story of what God had done for her when she was divorced by her husband. He threw her out. That's what it goes in Nepali culture and many other cultures in the world, and said, I don't want to be married any longer, and she's left vulnerable. And the local pastor and his wife took her in, and why would you do this for me? Which means simply they made room for her to lay down her mat each night to roll it out. Why would you do this for me? For the love of Jesus. She goes off to a new area with her new husband, and soon that pastor goes out and baptizes 150 people, all because of her witness. She didn't even have a Bible, so she couldn't be quoting scripture. But the pastor and his wife told her the stories of Jesus, said, I want that. She was baptized, and off she went. 150 people. That was in the year 1987 that I heard this story from one of our missionaries in Nepal when I was on my first international mission trip to Nepal with a group from Pittsburgh Presbytery. How many Christians are there today because of the witness of this one woman? I know it is thousands upon thousands. It must be 10,000. Only God knows how many exactly. But it's got to be 10,000 people. You're now in a third generation of people who are believing because of her. And all the others that she told, and all, it just on and on, all that they've shared stories with, so on. The story goes forward, and we're the ones who take it forward and have a zeal for taking it forward. Did you notice the Samaritan woman? Her zeal for taking it forward? And what's her story? She doesn't even have much of a story, does she? You know, the early part of that we didn't read is Jesus comes to the well. He encounters her at the well. It's a surprising story in two ways, that a man would talk to a woman in that culture, not appropriate, and that a Jew would talk to a Samaritan in that culture, not appropriate. But the disciples go off and they have this one-on-one, Jesus and this woman, and it's a pretty deep theological conversation, actually, part of it, about where to worship and who's the Messiah and so on. And Jesus says, go and bring your husband. And knowing where that's going to lead, she says, oh, I don't have a husband. He says, I know, you've had five, and the man you're living with now isn't really your husband. You know, she has a not very good past, okay? She's gone through a lot of men. And she has a poor reputation in the village. And Jesus knows about this, and she's amazed by it. And he reveals he's the Christ, says, I'm the Christ. And then the disciples come back, and that's where we pick up reading, and we find that she comes back then with villagers, because she's rushed off to the village to tell everybody. And she says, oh, come and see. Come and see, an invitation. The person who told me everything I ever did. Well, not everything I ever did, but you know, Jesus revealed all this to her. And she's just flabbergasted. She isn't even a believer. You can't say, oh, she was converted in this experience, that she is now a follower of Jesus. No, none of that. She expresses her doubt. Could this be the Christ? Is her question she asks after she says, he told me everything I ever did. She's skeptical. She doesn't know for sure. She's an inquirer. She's hopeful. She thinks he might be, but she doesn't know. And she's very upfront with that in talking to the people back in the village. She doesn't know scripture. She can't explain, oh, this is God's plan of salvation. She isn't ready to pray with someone to accept Jesus Christ, to confess their sin. None of that, okay? So that takes away all of our excuses about, oh, I'm not prepared well enough to help somebody after I've shared my story. As I said before, baloney from the story of this Samaritan woman, right? She just has an eagerness. Notice how eager she is. You know, she's not as far along in her faith as anyone here is. all of you are much more followers of Jesus than she was. She just told what she'd experienced. And notice how excited she was. She left her water jar, the scripture tells us. Now, come on. The water jar is like crucial to life. Where every day you've got to take your water jar and go and get the water. I've seen this, particularly in Niger, where my daughter and her husband are missionaries for the Presbyterian Church. And where every day they go to the village well. And they don't take jars. Now they have their plastic 5-gallon containers that they take, okay? And it's the kids a lot who are doing it, but also the women and girls are too. And they have to go to get that water. And you wouldn't leave it because that's crucial to your life. But she's so excited she leaves it because she's got to get and tell others. You see that? That hunger, that desire, that determination to go and say, come and see. Come and see. You've got to find out for yourselves. And then what's it say? A very different reaction from the villagers there than from the villagers where the demoniac lived, right? The demoniac villagers were filled with fear. But there, they hear the woman's testimony. And it says, some believed already just because of her testimony, which wasn't even much of a testimony, was it? They believed. And others, it says, when they came and saw Jesus for themselves, come and see, just like she invited, they believed on their own. This is what it is to share faith. Just tell what we know. Even if there's not much. All of us have something to tell. As we think about it, three things I'll share here as we move towards the end. As we seek to tell our stories. The first thing is about reflecting. We got to reflect back and think about our stories. Think about, throughout our lives, all the things that God has done for us. How He's provided for us. How He's kept us safe. Protected us. How He's picked us up when we were down. Where He's provided comfort and strength or reassurance and peace, guidance, whatever. We can all tell those stories of how God's put somebody in the right place at the right time to help us. And so on and so on. So reflect on those stories. How God has been involved in your life and what He's done for you. And then secondly, pray. And pray in a couple ways. Pray first for God to send individuals into your life that you can share the story with. Pray for their hearts to be open. For them to be ready to hear. Pray for yourself. Pray for your courage and boldness and readiness. Pray for God to prepare you and equip you and give you that strength to step outside your comfort zone. And then the third part is listening to the Spirit. This is the part where I miss it the most. Where there's some opportunity God puts before me and that opportunity's passed before I realize, oh, here's where I could have shared some of my story, dummy. You know? It's that kind of thing where I just wasn't attuned enough, I wasn't alert enough, ready enough, wasn't looking for God to put someone before me and open an opportunity to share the story in a very natural way. So it's about being attuned, to pray at the beginning of each day, Lord, give me an opportunity today. And make it clear to me so I don't miss it. That kind of thing. Well, I don't have a conversion story to share, as I said before, but I do have a story to share, and I'll just give you an example of how to share it, of how God protected me and saved me. I was 16 years old. I was driving tractor for my father at our orchards. My parents have orchards, and now my sister has them. And anyhow, in the evening, I was driving the tractor, 300-gallon sprayer behind, so my dad could have the spray gun and do some spot spraying for mites, I guess it was, or something else, I'm not sure. And the orchard's on a hillside, and we're going down the hill, and there's a road here, and I shifted down as we came to it, but I, in hindsight, should have shifted one more with the weight of the load behind, and things start, that load starts pushing, it starts freewheeling a little bit, I brake, and the wet grass, the dew on it, begin to skid, it's not helpful, and there's a row of trees here and a road here, and I'm coming down this way, and I got to turn past that last tree, and I'm going too fast. And as it comes to the place where I try to make that turn, the wheel breaks and the axle digs in, keeping my father and I from going over the 10-foot embankment. And surely the tractor on top. Now, you probably have a story to tell. You know, on those highways, it's pretty dangerous, right? Many of us have stories to tell of kind of near-miss experiences, right? Of how God has provided. Wow, I was lucky in that situation, we might say. No, God was providing. And it's a story we have to tell of how God has His hand upon us and takes care of us, so that He might use us for His purposes. That's what God has in mind. How God intervenes. And we have a chance to share that story when someone else is telling how they were lucky. Very naturally, wow, I had this experience. And I know it was God at work. And God wants to protect you. You know, it's an easy transition to, you know, you can know this security, this confidence that comes in God, that God will provide in some way, whatever the difficulty. You see, it can be a very natural kind of thing to share the story. And to give an invitation, come and see. Come to my church. Learn more. Let's spend time together. I want you to have this joy and peace that I have. So, you have the stories to tell. You really do. Think about it. They don't have to be spectacular stories, miraculous kind of stories. This has to be your story. How about God's at work? How God gave you peace in the midst of a terrible death for someone in your family or some other loss? How God is there providing, saving. And not just in this life, but even more so by His death, how He saves us for life eternal. And gives us the amazing gift that's beyond any gift He could give us in this life. The fullness of His presence forever and ever. What a great story to tell. So think about who it is you might want to share this story with, people you care about. And be intentional about it and pray about it. And God, if you're praying about it, God will give you the place. Like this Vietnamese woman, one a week, yeah, He'll give you opportunities. He'll give you opportunities. And the Spirit will do the rest. May it be so. Let us pray. Almighty God, kindle a fire within us. Remind us of what You have done for us, and stir in us a desire to share it. Give us courage, boldness. We ask for the sake of Jesus. and for his glory. Amen. Let us join in our communion to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service.
Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ is dying. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. We ask it for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus gathered his disciples and took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in a similar manner, after supper, he took the cup. And having given thanks, he gave it also to his disciples, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of sins. This do, this drink, as often as you do so, in remembrance of me." For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we do remember the Lord's death until he comes again. So let us come and sup. The body of Christ broken for you. The blood of Christ shed for you and your salvation. Let us unite in the closing prayer following communion. Loving God, we thank you that you have fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet in your eternal kingdom. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You go in the strength that comes from God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. this day and forever. Amen.